Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Audrey Hepburn. This is one of our episodes devoted to an actor and the music from the movies of that actor's career. Audrey Hepburn is a great star, although she did not make that many movies, fewer than 30, actually. There's some great movie music associated with her, and she sang in a few films, too, even though she did not have a big voice as a singer, something that became clear when her voice was dubbed in one major movie musical. And yet her vocal on one particular movie song is one of the most identifiable and most iconic, this is one instance where that word is actually justified, in cinema history. So we'll talk about Audrey Hepburn and listen to some of her film music, and then at the end of the show, for the trailer, we'll bring in the chairman of the board to croon a number from one of her last starring roles. Audrey Hepburn, no relation to Katharine Hepburn, by the way, had an interesting and sometimes difficult life. Born in Belgium on May 4th, 1929, she was raised partly in England, partly in Holland and Belgium. Her father was British and her mother Dutch. Her father left the family when she was young and when Germany invaded Poland to start World War II in 1939, Audrey came back to Holland to be with her mother in the misguided hope that the Netherlands might remain neutral and thus avoid the brunt of the war. Both her parents had espoused pro-fascist ideals, and in fact, her father was imprisoned in England during the war because of his political status. Well, the young Audrey Hepburn studied dance, watched people rounded up in the streets and taken away, and survived the famine winter of 1944-1945 when 20,000 Dutch people died of hunger. 8 years later, she was starring in a Hollywood movie and winning an Oscar as Best Actress. That's quite a trip, and we will talk about the connections that made that happen in a minute. Let's start with some music now, though, from that Oscar-winning performance, the 1953 film Roman Holiday, where Hepburn plays a European princess who goes incognito during a spree in Rome. The actress was virtually unknown when she was cast in the film, opposite Gregory Peck. Here's the main title music composed by Georges Auric for this fairy tale film.
Thank you.
Music from Roman Holiday. Composed by Georges Auric, the film that put Audrey Hepburn on the international map and won her an Oscar. The Oscar voters might have been responding to Hepburn's fresh and enchanting presence, and they also might have been responding to the way that art was imitating life, because here was this fairy tale story about a princess, and Hepburn herself seemed to be living out some kind of fairy tale of movie stardom. The truth was a little different from that. After the war, Audrey Hepburn gave up on being a ballet dancer in part, according to one source, because the malnutrition she suffered during the occupation had left her without the strength for a major ballet career. She took acting lessons, she danced in chorus lines, cobbled together a few small parts in movies, in the classic British comedy, in fact, The Lavender Hill Mob, you can see her glide into one scene to give a hug to Alec Guinness. Her big break did have the tang of a fairy tale, though. She was in Monte Carlo to shoot a very minor role in a very minor film. And the French author Colette spotted her there and apparently declared that this obscure young woman would play the lead in the Broadway production of a play based on Colette's novel, Gigi, which is exactly what happened, as it turned out. Then came Roman Holiday and overnight success. Hepburn's next movie also had fairy tale elements to it, Cinderella, to be precise, as the director Billy Wilder made her the star of Sabrina, 1954, the tale of a humble chauffeur's daughter at a wealthy Long Island estate, who comes to the attention of the two sons of the family, played by Humphrey Bogart and William Holden. Wilder's ear for plaintive pop music resulted in the film's romantic use of a couple of classic songs by Richard Rodgers and Lorenz Hart, Lover and Isn't It Romantic, which take on their own life as the movie's love themes. Here's Isn't It Romantic from Sabrina. Isn't It Romantic? Written by Richard Rodgers and Lorenz Hart. Associated with Audrey Hepburn in Billy Wilder's delightful comedy, Sabrina. Songs in the film arranged by Friedrich Hollander, like Wilder, an emigre from German cinema. Hard not to picture the moonlight and the tennis court and the charm of Audrey Hepburn if you've seen this movie and you hear this music. Hepburn also gets to sing a little La Vie en Rose in this film because in the course of the story, the chauffeur's daughter goes to Paris and comes back a sophisticated and glamorous woman. Now that she was a big movie star, Audrey Hepburn got to choose big projects, and one of them was a lavish production of War and Peace, in which she plays Natasha opposite Henry Fonda and her then husband, Mel Ferrer. The great Italian composer Nino Rota, who wrote the music for so many of Federico Fellini's films, creates the score here, and we will listen to a melody associated with Hepburn's character. This is called Natasha's Waltz. Music from the 1956 film War and Peace, composed by Nino Rota. That's Natasha's Waltz. And it does seem to have some of the lightness and grace of the actress who plays Natasha, Audrey Hepburn. Listening to the music in the movies, I'm Robert Horton, playing music from the film career of Audrey Hepburn. 1957, Hepburn got to do a musical opposite the legendary Fred Astaire, no less. Funny Face. A comedy with songs mostly drawn from the Gershwin catalog. Here we will note again that Hepburn did not have a huge singing voice, but as you will hear in her performance of How Long Has This Been Going On, the actress in her makes the difference. We hear the character and the idea of the song, despite her limitations as a vocalist.
Not expose my inner senses. Had no plan for a man. I was full of self-defenses. Now I feel that I really should face the consequences. My philosophic search has left me in the lurch. I must find why my mind is behaving like a dancer. What's the clue to pursue? For I have to have the answer. I could cry salty tears. Where have I been all these years? Is it fun, or should I run? How long has this been going on? There were chills, spine, and some thrills I can't define. Does it show? And who would know? How long has this been going on? Oh, I feel that I could melt into heaven. I'm hurled. I know how Columbus felt finding another world. Can I trust how I feel? Is this my Achilles heel? Look at me, I'm all at sea. How long has this been going on?
This has been going on. Written by George and Ira Gershwin, sung by Audrey Hepburn, from Stanley Donen's 1957 musical Funny Face, in which Hepburn plays a bookstore clerk, a bohemian type, seized upon by Fred Astaire's fashion photographer and whisked off to Paris as the next new face. You know, this movie's got some decidedly retrograde attitudes if you see it today, but the scene where Hepburn breaks into an angular modern dance at a beatnik club is worth everything. Also in 1957, Hepburn reunited with Billy Wilder for Love in the Afternoon, going back to Paris, for an assignation with an aging Lothario played by Gary Cooper. Now, at this point, we might stop to say that you may have noticed that Hepburn's leading men were, by and large, a little long in the tooth. Gregory Peck, Humphrey Bogart, Henry Fonda, Fred Astaire, and now Cooper, who was 55 when he shot the film, opposite the 29-year-old Hepburn. No doubt about it, the aura around Audrey Hepburn's characters wasn't the only fairy tale thing going on with this fantasy of older men finding happiness with this elfin young woman. Having said that, part of the appeal of Love in the Afternoon is that Gary Cooper's rake is just a little over the hill, and the irony is that he learned something from this younger person. Musically, the movie has a glorious running gag in the form of these hired musicians who show up to play at Cooper's seductions. And once again, Billy Wilder picks out a wonderful old song and revives it to great effect. Fascination, originally written in 1905 by Fermo Dante Marchetti, which operates here in just the right way, romantic, but also slightly silly. We're going to listen to a popular version release that charted in 1957, the year of the film, which features a vocal by Jane Morgan, English lyrics by Dick Manning.
Thank you.
was fascination, I know. And it might have ended right then at the start. Just a passing glance, just a brief romance, and I might have gone on my way empty-hearted. It was fascination, I know, seeing you alone. I touched your hand and next moment I kissed you. Fascination turned to love.
That is Fascination, performed there by Jane Morgan, a song that in its instrumental version is heard to repeated and comic and romantic effect in the 1957 film Love in the Afternoon. Well, one of Audrey Hepburn's least seen movies from this very high-profile run in the late 1950s was a project directed by her husband, the actor Mel Farrar, called Green Mansions, where Hepburn plays a somewhat thankless role, I think, of a mystical young woman who lives in the jungles of South America, discovered there by Anthony Perkins. Movie was a huge flop, but I thought we'd play some music in the spirit of this idea that Hepburn seemed to inspire special responses on film and in film music. This applies in Green Mansions, as this cue, titled Rima's Face, conjures up a somewhat mystical persona for Hepburn's nature girl. The film's score was by an old Hollywood pro, Bronislaw Kaper, using themes from music composed for the film by Heitor Villa-Lobos. A little music from a movie called Green Mansions, one of Audrey Hepburn's least successful vehicles from her initial burst of stardom. That film featuring music composed by Bronislaw Kaper and Heitor Villa-Lobos. And by the way. It also includes a song crooned to Hepburn by Anthony Perkins, strumming a guitar, just a year away from starring in Psycho, which you probably shouldn't think too hard about. Hepburn had a big hit in 1959 with The Nun's Story, a very interesting, methodical film about the process of becoming a nun, a project I think nicely suited to Hepburn's interior introverted qualities. Music-wise, though, it's time to turn to Henry Mancini, a delightful film composer who did four projects with Hepburn during the 1960s. The first would become a signature project for both of them, Breakfast at Tiffany's, 1961, a film in which Hepburn plays Holly-Golightly, and a movie that, considering that it's generally thought of as a classic, definitely has its share of awkward or problematic aspects, shall we say. But nobody's ever had a problem with the Oscar-winning song that Mancini wrote with lyrics by the great Johnny Mercer. Mancini said that he listened to Hepburn's vocal on How Long Has This Been Going On, the one that we just heard, and wrote a melody for her in about 30 minutes or so, he said, that would be comfortably within her range. Mercer was going to use the title Blue River for his lyrics, but somebody else beat him to that, so it defaulted to Moon River. Holly-Golightly sings it to herself at one point in Breakfast at Tiffany's, and the simplicity of the song made it an instant classic.
Style someday, old dream maker, you heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way to drift. See the world, there's such a lot of world to see. We're after the same rainbow's end, waiting round the bend. Very friend, Moon River and me.
Moon River, sung and kind of whispered by Audrey Hepburn in the film Breakfast at Tiffany's. Music by Henry Mancini, lyrics by Johnny Mercer. The song is an excellent argument for the power of simplicity. The lyrics allude to a feeling of wanderlust with just a handful of words and images, two drifters off to see the world. And the song's most famous phrase, "My Huckleberry Friend," which Mercer said he plucked from a memory of picking huckleberries during his Georgia boyhood. By the way, such was the acumen of Hollywood executives at the time, and probably still now, that during post-production, someone insisted the song should be cut for purposes of time. Apparently Hepburn's response was, "Over my dead body." You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, today playing music from the film career of Audrey Hepburn. A couple of years later, Henry Mancini would score another big Audrey Hepburn hit, 1963 film Charade, that delightful quasi-Hitchcock comedy thriller in which she co-starred finally with Cary Grant. He probably should have been cast opposite her in Sabrina and Love in the Afternoon. Here's the memorable opening credits music from that one. Thank you. From Charade, composed by Henry Mancini. One of that film's silliest scenes involves a party where Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn play a game involving the passing of an orange from one person to another without using one's hands. Mancini's music is just the perfect vintage 1963 Euro pop for that scene. It's a cue called Mambo Parisienne. That cue is called Mambo Parisienne from Henry Mancini's score for Charade. And we are still in Paris mode for Hepburn's next film, very odd comedy called Paris When It Sizzles, in which she reunites with William Holden. I have a theory that Charlie Kaufman, the screenwriter whose tail-chasing meta-narratives like Being John Malkovich and Adaptation are constantly playing games with different levels of storytelling, must have seen this movie in his cradle. Okay, so Holden plays a screenwriter whose ideas for a new movie are played out before our eyes with his secretary as his leading lady. It's all very confusing, even if there's some pretty good Hollywood satire contained therein. And the score by Nelson Riddle comes up with good theme music for Audrey Hepburn's character. This cue is titled Gabrielle. That is a cue called Gabrielle, which is Audrey Hepburn's name in Paris When It Sizzles, music by Nelson Riddle for a zany film. Might have done better at the box office if it didn't remind the audience so frequently about how corny and trite their expectations are for movies. Well, now we come to Audrey Hepburn's biggest musical film, the 1964 Best Picture Oscar winner, My Fair Lady, an adaptation of one of the greatest of all Broadway musicals. You know, there was some controversy about this one because the stage role had been identified with Julie Andrews, who played the Cockney gutter snipe, Eliza Doolittle. But Hepburn got the part in the movie as the bigger box office draw at the time. There was also some awkwardness about the fact that although Hepburn had expected to do her own singing, most of her voice in the songs was actually dubbed by the famed ghost singer Marnie Nixon. Here's an example of creative blending from that soundtrack. You can hear Hepburn playing the role in the less challenging parts of The Rain in Spain, but pretty clearly hear the crystal clear soprano of Marnie Nixon taking over when things get big. In this scene, Henry Higgins, played by Rex Harrison, the self-appointed Pygmalion who's going to transform this lower-class woman into a society lady, is completing a lesson in pronunciation.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Again.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
I think she's got it. I think she's got it.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in George, she's got it. By George, she's got it. Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that soggy plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
The rain is mainly in the plain.
Bravo!
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
In Hartford, Hereford and Hampshire,
hurricanes hardly happen. How kind of you to let me come.
Now once again, where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that blasted plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
And the rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
That is The Rain in Spain, delightful moment from My Fair Lady, written by Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe, performed by Audrey Hepburn, Rex Harrison, Wilfred Hyde-White, and the voice of Marnie Nixon. Hepburn is really quite fun in the role, but Julie Andrews had the last laugh, winning the Oscar that same year for Mary Poppins, where she did her own singing. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, using my own voice and playing music from the film career of Audrey Hepburn. Let us return to the Hepburn-Mancini partnering with the 1967 film Two for the Road, an unusual, non-linear look at a marriage between two sometimes charming, sometimes insufferable people that unravels over the course of different European vacations, the couple played by Hepburn and Albert Finney. This time, Mancini's music is appropriately bittersweet, as you will hear in the main theme from Two for the Road. music from Two for the Road, a film that reunited Audrey Hepburn with her charade composer and director, Henry Mancini and Stanley Donen, respectively. It was a decade and a half since Roman Holiday, and in this European travelogue, Hepburn was very appealingly no longer the innocent ingenue. The other thing I want to say about this movie is that whatever the intention was, I will always be thankful for this film instilling a certain fantasy about what travel was like. Its portrait of knocking around European side roads made a big impression on me when I watched the film on the Big Money Movie on a weekday afternoon in adolescence. I don't know if I responded to the characters much, but I like the idea of romantic rambling. And I like the music, of course. Here is another playful cut by Mancini called Happy Barefoot Boy. Cue titled Happy Barefoot Boy from the movie Two for the Road, composed by who else, really, but Henry Mancini. The composer and actress worked one more time in the 1960s on the thriller Wait Until Dark, in which Hepburn played a blind woman menaced in her apartment by intruders. Audrey Hepburn turned 40 at the end of the 1960s, and she really left movie acting after that, for the most part, making only five feature projects until her death at age 63 in 1993. Her final role was a kind of angelic movie star cameo in Steven Spielberg's Always in 1989. Hepburn got increasingly involved with humanitarian causes and significant work with UNICEF in her later years. Perhaps her most notable performance during this era was in the graceful 1976 film Robin and Marian, which she starred opposite Sean Connery in a story of an aging Robin Hood and his lady. For this elegiac film, that splendid composer John Barry wrote a lyrical love theme that suits its seasoned characters. Thank you. music from Robin and Marion, composed by John Barry, a film that provided an elegant later-in-life role for Audrey Hepburn. And the trailer music ushers in a song used on the jukebox soundtrack of another rare appearance for Hepburn, the 1981 comedy They All Laughed, directed by Peter Bogdanovich. This is an old-fashioned ensemble screwball comedy, which unfortunately failed to get proper distribution, in part because Bogdanovich's companion, Dorothy Stratton, who co-stars in the film, was murdered after filming was completed, casting a pall over the movie. But They All Laughed itself has a real glow, including its soundtrack, buoyed by Frank Sinatra's take on the Gershwin classic that gives the movie its title.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when they said that man could fly. They told Marconi Wallace was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me wanting you, said I was reaching for the moon. But oh, you came through. Now they'll have to change their tune. They all said we never could be happy. They laughed at us and how. But ho, 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 who's got the last laugh now?
Sinatra singing They All Laughed by George and Ira Gershwin, a song that gave its title to Peter Bogdanovich's 1981 comedy. Bogdanovich has said that Sinatra gave him the rights to use that song and a couple of others for a fraction of what they would normally have cost. Audrey Hepburn played one of her last movie roles in the film, by the way, was joined in the cast by her son, Sean Farrar. That's our musical look at the movie career of Audrey Hepburn, who did not have the largest or busiest career in film, but whose presence was invariably special in some distinctive way. Just listen to Moon River again, if you don't know what I mean. And she was well served by equally distinctive music. Let us go out with Henry Mancini's Oscar-winning score for Breakfast at Tiffany's. This is a saucy cut titled Something for Cat. I'm Robert Horton. I thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.